We're tonight in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou in thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose, and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household, and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house. What an absolute coincidence that right when he's telling the story of the son being raised, the very son and the mom walk into the king's room. Wow, what a coincidental thing that was. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. What a marvelous. I tell you, this woman of Shunem, the more I look at her life, she's an amazing, amazing woman. In summary, though the Shunammite woman's kindness to Elisha had already brought her rich rewards, she has had a child. It says in 4:14, her husband's old. It says plain out, her husband's old. God gave her a son, even though she didn't ask for it. She'd already been living in a land she loved, with people she loved. Her son's raised from the dead. She's had fellowship with Elisha. She had been learning, obviously learned from Elisha. She had all these things now, and now God's going to protect her for 7 years and then restore all that she had lost. Now, what major family change do we see has probably happened since 438 and this part? By the way, this is not in chronological order, just in case you're wondering how it all fits in. I don't think it's in chronological order. It says in 414, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi said, She hath no child, and her husband's old. Her husband, I think, is not only old by now, he's promoted to glory, hopefully. Or actually down into the Sheol, the happy side of Hades. So I think she is a widow now, so she has more responsibility. Elisha has not forgotten her kindness. Remember, all experiences of Elisha recorded in Scripture are not necessarily in chronological order. So since Gehazi is freely conversing with King, probably Jehoram, we're not even sure it was King Jehoram, this event likely takes place before what? If Gehazi is talking to the king, he probably has not been saddled with what yet? The leprosy, right. He's probably, 5:27 at the end, where he is turned white as snow, which I think is the example of the worst kind of leprosy. That has not happened yet. I think this is prior to that. The time frame, if you look back and sing 2 Kings 438, Elisha came to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. This is all the way through 44 that there's this drought going on of 7 years. I believe this would be the time. We say, well, what about last week when there was a famine and Samaria? Yes, there was a famine there, but that was caused because King Ben-Hadad had surrounded the city of Samaria and the famine was localized there because they had, it sort of sieged it. It wasn't really a famine. The famine was in the city, yes, but not the other virons around. So that in chapter we just finished up last time is not in chapter. Remember chapter 7 last week where the four lepers went into the camp and the people left. They had a great time. And the guy who said, what, the windows of heaven are open? You'll see it, but you won't get to be a part of it. And he died at the end of chapter 7. Different famine. This is the 7-year famine, I believe, referred to back over here in chapter 4, 38 to 44. Now, the true sense of this verse, what about chapter 8, verse 1 says then, well, the true sense of this is best brought out by, now Elisha had past tense spoken to the woman. The reference to is really, as Rawlinson said, to a time long anterior, means coming before in time earlier on. This reference in 8 happened before the things I carried out in 6 and 7. So we have the revelation of the Lord, chapter 8, verse 1. And then spake Elisha unto the woman, page 2, whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go. Now, question 3, page 2. What is the subject of God's divine revelation to Elisha? And that is a coming famine. A famine, I was just looking yesterday. I was looking, are there famines going on in the world? Yes, there are famines going on in the world. There are, according to the place I looked, there's 690 million people go hungry every day. 690 million. There are famines in northern Nigeria, southern Sudan, Somalia, and Yemen. We are thankful. We can go to a grocery store tonight. Anytime you just go to the grocery store and spend every single penny you have and come home with a truckload of stuff you'll never be able to eat before it goes spoils. We are blessed. We are blessed. I have been blessed. You are blessed. There are some who certainly cannot say the same. So there's number one is the condemnation and the revelation. Typically now, what does question 4, famine, speak of? Condemnation, especially in Bible times, condemnation for ill living. Now, that does not mean that people who have been living wrong always suffered famine. Honestly, my thinking, America needs to be on the verge of a tremendous famine, spiritually speaking, for the most part, but we're not. Praise the Lord, He's gracious to us. A famine was not a normal weather cycle. Here's your blank. It was abnormal and specifically called, is your blank, for by God. It was called for by God. That's when the famines come, especially in Bible times, when God allows them to happen. By the way, even when you think about this term, Mother Nature. It's not. That's not a biblical term, Mother Nature. Well, it's not nice to fool, what's that one? Some butter thing. Not nice to fool Mother Nature. But even when you come, that's an anti-God sentiment. And I'm just telling you. God is yet in control of all these things. It's not some random act of a capricious God who allows a typhoon to happen here. No, God is sovereignly in control. There's not, I like what the Friel says, there's not one random molecule, some radical random molecule in the universe. God is yet in control. Listen to Psalm 105:16. It says, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. God calls for these things because they needed to be woken up. Not the woke of today's terms, but woken up to what God wanted them to do. Like what Matthew Henry says, if men will walk contrary to him in spite of chastisement, he will heat the furnace a little hotter. He's going to heat the furnace a little hotter. If we are willing to, even though in the midst of God's clear judgment upon us, still walk against him, God can bring greater judgment. He can. Let me ask you, what is the key? I'm thinking of a verse in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people will humble themselves and pray, hear from heaven, heal your land. I know that's Old Testament. I think the principle can apply for us today. We are praying. I like what Mr. Bill said in his prayer. The Lord's will going to be done. May we get on board with that. But I think God still wants us. Lord, heal our land. Heal me. I'm working on memorizing again. I hadn't worked on Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Have mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. You say, but Pastor Tim, God has not struggled with the fact. God has not wiped out half the population of America. Nobody could. He's gracious. He's given you a chance. If you're unrepentant, he's given you a chance to receive Christ. Now, what is clearly, question 5, the worst kind of famine? I went to a store Monday morning. The sheets on there right as you get off the first exit there. And I went inside and there was not one 20-ounce Diet Mountain Dew. I mean, it's got these long, I can't even reach back that far. And there was not, after the weekend, I don't know why I don't have somebody. I was like, don't you have people? Blah, 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 blah. I didn't get too carried away, actually. I couldn't imagine. There was not one. That's not the famine. The worst kind of famine is a dearth for this. The Word of God. If anybody says, we've got another gospel, go read for them the first part of Galatians chapter 1, 8 and 9. If you preach, even an angel preach any other gospel, whether it's a social gospel, whether it's as an R word, I can't think of it, that comes from South America, some kind of gospel. Anyway, any of these type of gospels, don't believe it. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what saves. So there is the condemnation, there's the command in the revelation, the expectation of the command. Look at this, question 6. The command from Elisha was given to the Shunammite woman to guide her to what? To guide her conduct. This is what you need to do. Ma'am, I don't know what her first name is. Let's call her for tonight. What would be a good... Let's call her. What now? Susie the Shunammite. Susie, here's what you need to do. So there was... And this is how I want... This is going to help your conduct. And it wasn't like, we need to catch this. It wasn't like, well, let me ask the second question. 7. Look carefully. Which came first, the command or the reason for the command? What does it say? Susie, go. But Elisha, what? She doesn't do that. Go. Okay, I'll start packing my bags. The Lord tells us to do something. And we want the answer. I want it right now. Why do you want me to do this? Why is it raining so hard? Why is there water in my basement? We've had a nice run of good weather. Now, why is this happening? Why do I have COVID? Why can't I lick this thing in one day? What happens here? Just go. Tim, just go. Be obedient. And quit whining. And the woman says, nothing. She just does what God asks her to do. She does. The priority. Priority. The timing. Now, were there going to be advantages for the woman going early before the famine comes? Yes. As she travels to the Philistine, there could be a better choice of homes to live in. There's not going to be people waiting on the side of the road. A famine's happening, and we're going to jump you, and because a lot of people are fleeing to Philistia, so we're going to have a great time of robbing somebody every day. What wouldn't be that? There's no price gouging. Oh, everybody's got to go to Philistia, so we're going to charge 5 gallons per pail of water for that camel instead of 3. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to gouge the price here, and the inn's going up from $5 a night to $50 a night. We're going to fleece some people while they're having the famine. By the way, failure to do duty can never be blamed on God for not telling us our duty soon enough. If we are ignorant of our duty when we need to know it, we can blame ourselves for not listening to God when He spoke our duty to us. Well, Lord, you never told... Oh, don't start that. He's told you clearly what He wants you to do. Read His Word, pray to Him, and let the Holy Spirit work in your heart and life. There's a lot of things Christians pray about they have absolutely no need to pray about. You know the answer before you can get on your knees or whatever you get on or sit on your couch. Well, the answer to that is no. You don't even need to, oh, I want to do this. Or I think I can, you can't handle that. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Response of the lady, first of all, her response was prompt. Question 9, page 3. The woman's response was not delayed, which required a lot of this. The woman's response required a lot of what? And she arose, crying out of faith, and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned, verse 2, in the land of the Philistines 7 years. The response was polite. Complainers do not respond well to commands. Have you ever noticed that? Complainers do not respond well to commands. They don't. Do we see any protest from the woman at all? Do you see any protest at all from the lady? I don't see it at all. Perhaps the sublimest act of the life of the Shunammite was when, in simple faith, she obeyed the prophet's direction. For as yet there was plenty in the land, nor any indication of approaching famine, except in the message of Elisha. I'm going to tell you, there's a big rain coming. You better start building your ark. You know, God, this is like Noah Jr. I've never even seen rain. So you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want to do. And when the rain starts, well then, I'll get my wood going. And he died. He would have died. But Noah's like, okay, I'll start doing that. But that is it. Also, Butler says this, there is no hint that she murmured at her lot or complained at the severity of her trial. No, when faith is an exercise, the spirit of murmuring is quelled. Contrarywise, when we grumble at our lot, it is sure proof that unbelief is dominant with us. Well, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do that, or I don't know why you're even doing this, or how can I even be content with that? We're not content. Her response was painful. Question 11, would it have been difficult for her to leave her home? Yes. Would it have been difficult? To leave perhaps the land she was raised in? Yes. We may incur loss from a worldly point of view by obeying a command of God, but which do we prefer? Worldly gain or a conscience at peace with God? Which loss is greater, the loss of a few pounds, dollars, or the loss of our Heavenly Father's smile? It should be the loss of our Heavenly Father's smile, shouldn't it? Yes. Her response was prudent and patient. Was this a wise area to go to the time? We'd immediately say, well, going to the Philistia, well, not, well, this time it was a good thing. Normally, we think of David for 14 months down with King Achish, and out of God's will, never prayed one time on Philistia, I don't know that I know of, until things burned at Ziklag, and he really got serious about praying then. Of course, I'm not throwing any stones now. I'll try not to. It is me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Was it a wise time to go? Yes, for her it was. It was the most likely place. The country of the Philistines, the rich, low, corn-growing plain along the seacoast of Judah, was always a land of plenty compared with the highlands of Palestine. Moreover, if food failed there, it was easily imported by sea from the neighboring Egypt. It was where in Genesis 24 that Isaac went during the famine. So, where would we go? If we were having a famine, we ask this question, where would we go? We would leave Greenup and go where? Where's a better place that would have more food than us? Kansas? I don't know. Well, but there was a places they would go that would have more food. Now, if we were different other areas, we have a pretty good farms here. Maybe up in Ohio somewhere. I tell you, Wisconsin has some beautiful farms. When we go on the way up to fishing, Wisconsin has some beautiful dairy farms. But God will provide wherever we would be. But for here, for this famine, she went to Philistia. How long was it? 7 years. The restoration of the land. Look now, continuing on as we close up. Verse 3. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end, the woman returned out of the land of Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. So what discouraging thing happened while she was away? Squatters, we call them today. Squatters, they took over her property, took over her farm, was saying the farm was theirs, even though, now, okay, this is me, this is you. You went 7 years as God told you to do, and you come back and you've lost your farm. How would you handle that? Oh, Lord. Thank you that I've lost my farm. I just don't know what you got planned for me, but boy, I just so hope they had a good time with my farm. I hope Cisco and Rebel and Buttermilk, I hope they didn't mistreat them while I was away. Well, look over there. They're still there.
Well, Rebel's not. He's gone on his own way by now, I'm sure.
And wasn't that as... What would we say? Lord, I've done this for you! I went all in. You led me here, and I've done exactly what you said. And now, at your command, I've lost my farm. And wouldn't we just almost do it like that? I was working on the mower. It was Saturday. Was it Saturday? I can't remember. Friday or Saturday? Friday night. And I have this little part of my mower. And it has this thing that pops up. It keeps the wheels in line. If you hit the front end, the tire melts down, and it drops the thing on the ground. And you got to go down and go, pop that thing back up. Well, I've been popping that thing up for a couple years now, and the bolt was gradually losing. So, wouldn't you know, when I'm in a hurry, I've got to get this thing done Friday night. The bolt completely fell off. So here I push it into the garage. I pick up the mower and put it on this little stand so I can start working. I promise you, I'm not lying. 50 to 75 times. I tried to thread my fingers in around the mower and get this little nut through there and put it between, I'm promising you, at least 50 times. And I was there. And then I had set my nut and bolt box on top of my mower. And lo and behold, you know what happened next? It kept going down that way, and I bumped the mower, and it screws nuts all over the garage floor. I'm even getting tired telling the story. I'm saying, Lord, do you not know? I know you know. I was angry at God. Well, for a few moments, Lord, I've got all this going on. I'm so tired already. I've got to get it done before dark. And I can't get this thing put together again.
Just hang in there. Lord, I'm sorry, even now, for such an attitude. Sometimes we get off, don't we get off? Maybe I'm the only one in the church gets off the wrong direction. This woman, I tell you, she's a 10-star, 5-star, whatever. She's an obedient lady. The restoration, last page. I know you got 3.5 minutes. Here we go. Last page. The restoration was pressing. It would be a great challenge to her faith. After all, she had done exactly what we've been talking about, what God had told her to do with this, and the outcome was of obedience, as I've lost my farm. Look at verse 4. And the king Ahazar and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done. And it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. That was a normal thing, was the king would decide such things, and she has gone to the one person who could fix her problem, the king, and she walks into the throne room, whatever it was, and by the time she gets there, has God already worked? Yes. My son came and helped me pick up all the nuts and bolts. So I had to pick them up. He had them all picked up before I was getting my last thing put together. Doesn't God sometimes humble you? He does. And so God's already working. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. She is, well, just a moment. Let me just ask you this question. What happened to her, the one son she had on a very hot day, on a harvest day? The son comes home and sits on her lap, and what does he do? Dies. She travels 20 miles to Elisha. Gehazi could do nothing. The staff could do nothing. Travels 20 miles back, in the middle of the night probably. Elisha, I've lost my son. And the son she lost, right here. Oh, king. Right here's the lady. Here's the lady who's... Her son was... Matter of fact, that's him right there. Elisha raised him. Have back your land. Hey, steward, go to her house with her and throw out everybody else and give her land. And not only give her her land back, make them pay everything that they earned while the 7 years she's out of town. Can't you imagine the tears in her face? Lord, you're too good to me. When's the last time you and I cried about the goodness of God in our lives? I have had amazingly wonderful health until last month and a half. I was thinking today as I was at the work, how often do I thank God for my good health? Maybe once or twice a year, maybe, or something. A little more lately. Right now, it's like, wow, Lord, thank you that I've been able to work this long without having all the difficulties, because a lot of people, even in the church, have a lot younger and have a whole lot more pain than I have. Why aren't we doing that now when God's blessed us? Why do I have to wait till, Lord, I need you? So the coincidence or God's providence? I say it's no coincidence. I tell you, it's God's marvelous providence. Marvelous providence. And I think it's the rest of the Shunammite. Question 7, get more than she returned. Yes. Do you think Jehoram was always in returning land mode or mood? No. And what do you think of the oft-used phrase, God is a debtor to no man? I like it. Before I pray, listen to this regarding providence of God. The pastor went to a restaurant. He says, a new friend came and sat with me. He shared before he got saved, the preacher knocked on his door and invited him to revival. He and his wife had been playing Scrabble. Bob said he and his wife returned to the Scrabble game, and Bob drew out 6 tiles that spelled in sequence, repent. A little while later, he drew out 4 tiles that spelled in sequence, H-E-L-L. He said, we started the church the next Sunday, and shortly thereafter, we both got saved. Coincidence or providence of God? Providence of God, you live in Kentucky or Ohio, and the most wonderful nation has been ever, ever on this earth of late. Providence of God, or just sheer coincidence? May we be thankful tonight. We serve
a sovereign God who's graciously allowed us to hear the truth of his blessings upon us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your sovereignty over everything and your blessings upon us, each of us sitting here tonight, to have been lived our almost, our, I guess most of us lived all of our lives, entire lives in America. Yes, America has difficulties, but Lord, you've allowed us to do that, and we are grateful. Thank you for the truths of your word. May we be a witness for you the rest of this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.